And now it is my pleasure to bring on a couple of gentlemen that one that I know extremely well and another that I know a little bit. Mark Bertha is the CEO or the president of Hard Rock Hotel Casino Fire Mountain locally. And Todd Flowers owns a security company here locally called SSI. And both of these guys understand what's happening right now in entertainment and more specifically in the gaming industry. So I'll let them maybe introduce themselves a little bit. And hopefully you can, because we have three people and we have audio, hopefully you can distinguish between Todd and the two Marks. I think you probably know my voice, but Todd, let's start with you, Mark, if you don't mind. Mark, sure. You and I met, we are both honorary commanders at Beale Air Force Base. You're a leader in the Sacramento community as somebody who has a lot of employees, a huge customer base, and so, but you're also a thought leader when it comes to entertainment and gaming. So maybe give us a little of your background and like, where do you see where we're at today?
Sure. Well, first and foremost, it's a pleasure to be with you this morning. So thank you for having me on, obviously on behalf of our ownership, the Enterprise Rancheria Tribe and Hard Rock International, which you may have heard that name before. We're very honored to be a part of the community and a part of your podcast today. So, you know, myself, I've been in the gaming industry now for over 25 years. I've been fortunate to have worked almost around the world, from a short time in Macau in China to Atlantic City, where I sort of started my career. And then the majority of my time I've spent in Las Vegas, working on the Las Vegas Strip, working in the locals market, spent some time in Arizona. Most recently, prior to Northern California, I was the president of the Hard Rock Roxino property in Ohio for about 4.5 years. And that property was actually built for about $230 million and was able to lead that to a transaction with MGM and their REIT, which sold for almost $1.1 billion. So as soon as that took place, I had the opportunity to relocate here to Northern California to be on the ground as employee number one to help bring this vision with the tribe together to develop this $400 million plus project here, which is now, of course, the Hard Rock Hotel Casino Sacramento at Fire Mountain, which opened up last October. And I said in my opening speech that we will open these doors today and they will never close again. And as you know, we're all in a new normal, and never in my life would have thought that I would have been proven wrong on that one, because it hadn't happened prior. But we, of course, had to close our doors temporarily at the middle of March, and then we're fortunate enough to reopen in May. I'm sure we'll talk a little bit about that. But very proud to be part of the community. We have 1,300 team members here at our property that all live within the region. We have a ton of local vendors that we work with here to support reinvestment in the community. And, you know, hundreds of thousands of guests that travel from all around the region, even outside the state, to be entertained with the Hard Rock brand. Our property here, of course, we've got close to 1,600 slot machines on our floor, 57 table games, 6 restaurants, including at some point our buffet will reopen. Great steakhouse, actually a Wine Spectator Award winner in Council Oaks Steaks and Seafood, and a number of other restaurants. We've got a 169-room hotel with suites, great pool area, 10,000 square foot of meeting space. So, you know, you mentioned gaming in the beginning, and just to finish up, clearly gaming is a primary component of what we offer, but as part of Hard Rock, our vision is to deliver authentic experiences that rock. That's our sort of vision statement. And, you know, people come here to have fun. They come here to be entertained. They come and stay in a hotel, have a staycation, have a little gambling fun. But really, we've got something for almost everybody. And it truly is an entertainment destination here right in our own backyard in Northern California. So we're honored to be here.
We welcome you, the new guy in town, but you're making a big splash. And let's maybe kick it over to Todd. Todd Flowers owns SSI, in which I am an investor, more of a silent partner, so to speak. But he and I have worked together in the past building some companies. But Todd, you've been in the gaming industry, at least from providing technology to the gaming industry for 20 years. You've seen it change. Maybe you can give us a little bit of your background and then where are we at today?
Yeah, first of all, I'd like to say welcome to Northern California, Mr. Bertha. And I have to deliver a complaint, though, out of the gate.
Oh.
You've got to get that buffet open for my father. I hear about it nonstop. So
top of my list.
Father. Yeah, he's out there all the time. And it's great to see such an iconic brand and a very aggressively growing brand come to Northern California. That's very exciting. I'm 26 years into this now, and technology has changed dramatically from the analog days of just watching video after some occurrence to video analytics now and AI that exists where, you know, you and I could play offense together and really do some great things when it comes to video surveillance and protecting that iconic brand out there. We're in crazy times. I mean, I bragged so many times about, you know, my emphasis is in video surveillance for gaming and access control and everything to protect the assets of the tribe or the corporation. We've done a lot of business with the Seminoles. We do quite a bit of business with Hard Rock, Atlantic City. We're on a project there now. But I never would have thought in a million years. I thought it was an industry that would never close down. And we survived bad economic times. And here we are today. You know, all these properties are now reopening, but the game has changed. And in all of this, we still have to work together to create a safe and fun environment for the people that are coming in to support Hard Rock. So we lean into now, I mean, fortunately, technology has advanced so much in the last few years with computing power and video analytics that, you know, you could have people walking through the front door and use thermal imaging to take their temperature, and they don't feel much of a pinch. They don't feel like, you know, they can come through and they can enter the property and they don't necessarily have to have somebody, you know, putting a laser to their forehead to take their temperature. But it is interesting times. And so fortunately we have the technology that when utilized, it can really still maintain that safe environment. And without the people coming in and feel, like I said, feeling like they're, coming into a negative environment, or, you know, it takes the fun out of it. So I'm excited about what's going on. The great thing about, if there is a positive in this COVID thing, it does force people to take a look at the newest technologies versus, you know, leaning on what they've had forever or the old stuff. So there'll be some very good positives come out of this. And really that's exciting for me because it makes it fun again. It makes it fun to be able to introduce technology and leverage it to, you know, create the best environment for your employees and for the industry or patrons. But yeah, we're very excited about this.
You know, Mark, Todd touched a little bit on, you know, enthusiasm in certain areas and a silver lining. And also the confidence that we need as employees, as customers, and so on, to walk into a facility that might have, you know, might be kind of crowded. How are you using technology, Mark, to sort of get back reopened and really, I guess, add to that confidence level so that the enthusiasm can build?
Yeah, I mean, that's a great question. And I think, you know, Todd hit the nail on the head there. I mean, technology is a critical aspect. So we, you know, as part of Hard Rock International, we actually work very closely with the CDC, a number of medical experts all around the world. We have properties in 200 locations around the world. So clearly, we saw this happening overseas before we even knew there was an issue here in the States. And they started working on it very early in that timeline. So the reality is that we worked together with our company, and us being here, worked very closely with the Yuba Sutter Health Director and the whole county's resources. And we developed a 135-page document That outlines all of our training, all of our protocols, all of the things we put into place. And we actually call it our Safe and Sound program. A little bit of Hard Rock pun there. But the reality is there was nothing more important as we learned our way through closure and what it would take to reopen and what it would take to operate in a different new normal. There was nothing that was a higher priority than the safety, the health, the wellness of not only our guests, but our team members, of course. And so there were, as I said, in that 100+ page plan, a number of protocols that we put in place. I mean, I spent hundreds of thousands of dollars at this property alone on plexiglass to provide separation and, you know, a level of social distancing for people that are on slot machines or in restaurants. We have 50% or less occupancy in a number of our outlets. As Todd was saying, it's kind of funny you mentioned the thermal imaging. We have cameras, and these are thousands of dollars per camera system that we've implemented at our entrances that literally as guests walk through, we take a thermal scan of them. We don't touch them. We don't get even within 6 feet of them, quite honestly. But it's allowing us to take a thermal picture of them and identify if there might be a level of concern that we can then follow up with the guests. So there's technologies in that space, technology with the cleaning systems, technology in our air and our HVAC systems, technology really across the board that allows us to heighten up the level of vigilance and due diligence that the county was highly impressed and literally gave us a green light to go ahead and reopen. We were one of the first gaming properties to reopen in the region. I think we set the bar very, very high that many others looked at what we were doing. Literally, we were opening and they were in our building evaluating the signage and the sanitizers and the technology and the things that we were doing with distancing and social markers and all these other protocols we put in place. And again, it didn't matter what the dollar amount was. It mattered that we opened correctly. We trained our team members. They felt safe. Therefore, our guests would feel safe. And, you know, whether it's cleaning slot machines 24 hours a day, I can probably say that probably around the country, but clearly here in Northern California, and especially at the Hard Rock properties, is the cleanest the building will ever be. And safe and sanitized other than the day that we opened our doors. And it's that level of, discipline and vigilance that I think has allowed us to continue to operate in an effective manner.
So I'm curious, Mark, what are you seeing in terms of sharing of data? I know that security, generally speaking, is very private, but here we are. We have an entire industry or group of industries within entertainment that have been dramatically affected, right? Basically brought to a shutdown point, from the cruise industry to gaming and other events. But, you know, this information, you know, if it's housed within your four walls, if you will, or your 100+ casinos, I mean, it's not going to bode well for the confidence of the American people, or even the international traveler or gaming person. Are there consortiums where you share this data? Because I have heard that among the Wynn and some of the other larger Vegas casinos, they want to help the entire industry. And how does that work within the industry?
You're talking about customer data? You're talking about
preparedness data so that the industry itself can come out thriving. Where you're today, Hard Rock has obviously the local presence, but you have stuff in Vegas on the Strip and so on. So you're part of a regional play, and you're also a destination, if you will, for the business traveler. So I think there's a lot of us that want the industry to improve, get back to where it was and maybe beyond. And I'm thinking that there are common standards that could build everybody's confidence so that we all start doing trade shows again.
Yeah. Look, I mean, it's a number of good questions there. We value the data that we collect about the transactions and the business that's going on in our building. If there's anything that's probably protected other than, the safety and wellness and health aspects of, sanitation and the COVID-19 crisis, I would say the data protection is clearly the highest level of vigilance. We host most of this data, locally. We don't share share our data. We're an independent property in that sense. We manage everything here locally through our direct mail, through our databases of gaming play, and everything is basically hosted and managed here independently. You know, there are some card programs that allow you to use your programming and your benefits and loyalty programs and other properties within our company, but all the data is pretty much hosted locally, and we don't sell our data, we don't share our data. Everything is done independently right here at the property. Got all the highest levels of technology in place. We have a full, you know, IT department here locally, with a VP of IT whose, you know, highest priority is making sure that not only do we collect the data and manage it appropriately, but we protect it at all times and ensure that there's no, you know, selling, no advertising, no other third party usage of anything like that. When it comes to data related to anything that's, you know, wellness driven in today's current market, we work very closely with the county to not only manage manage anything related to that, but work very closely with them to get guidance and support on that level. But you know, technology is a great tool. It can be very, very powerful and very, very consumer friendly. I mean, one of the things that, you know, from a technology perspective, we've implemented here, you know, if you win a jackpot on our machine and you sign up for our self-pay jackpot program, you don't have to interact with anybody. The jackpot automatically basically shows up on your game. We're the only one in the market to have that. We have technology like that. We have the ability to download a credit line right at your slot machine without ever having to interact with anybody. We have some other new technology that'll be coming out hopefully later this year that I think will be game changing in this market. So, you know, I think obviously we're all focused on delivering these authentic experiences, but what's amazing to me in our industry, and, you know, we're catching up in many ways. What's fascinating, whether it's surveillance or any aspect of our industry, is technology is really not just looked at as a tool to operate more effectively. It's really now more about how to deliver even better experience for our guests, whether it's seamless, whether it's, you know, enhancing certain things that we're already doing. Technology is really becoming the game changer in our space to allow guests to have a better experience when they're here on our property.
Todd, you're well positioned to really understand the broader industry and the best practices and so on in your world and in your niche, having, you know, I think 1,000+ casino type customers and other customers, and, you know, from healthcare to education and so on. How are you able to make your knowledge, share your knowledge in a way that doesn't give up, obviously, trade secrets and so on, but yet we help as many as people as we can get their businesses back open again?
Oh, that's an interesting question. We are extremely interactive with our customers. We want to share any bit of intel we get that's not proprietary to a property to help every property open. It's, you know, in my world, we're working in just a small sliver of a property like, you know, like MGM Wynn or Hard Rock or anybody. We're a sliver. We're surveillance. So we don't touch a lot of the other sides. We see it. I would have loved to have been in the plexiglass business. Who knew? So all these new standards that are coming out, and to Mark's point, I think what's really cool about this is that it forced decision makers to implement new technology, like the idea of, you know, being able to download a line of credit right to a slot machine to enhance that gaming experience, keep them focused on the slot. What I'm curious about, though, and maybe it's a question for Mark, so I'm sort of flipping your question back at Mark. I've got a lot of questions, actually, that have popped in my mind. Mark, how much, you've been around to a lot of properties. You've worked at stations, which might have been, it'd be great to know how it was working with the Fertittas, and maybe you had some play in the UFC. But as opposed to the past, in getting this property open, how much of a politician did you have to become? Is that some new role for every GM and president that now you're also a politician?
You know, it's a great question, actually. You know, the reality is we are very much invested in the local community here. And so, you know, as with any business venture, particularly a development opportunity, you're working very closely with the local political scene here. You know, the great news for us is that we have, you know, amazing relationships with the local board of supervisors or the mayors in the area. And everybody was very favorable and very complimentary and also part of the process, not only from the development and the permitting and all the different things that go into building anything, but just seeing the overall economic development of this region. And so, you know, I don't fancy myself having to be the politician per se, but I mean, it's a great question because you have to have relationships. And, you know, what we do here will increase traffic. What we do here will increase visibility and visitation. And then that just ripples into a number of other conversations. We have 70% of our team members live right here in the Yuba-Sutter County. That has an impact on the local community. You know, we have memos of understanding with all the different municipalities here. We work very closely with whether it's fire or police or whomever to ensure that we're giving them resources and intelligence and they're giving us the same thing. And we understand the local community here. We do a ton of charity. You know, one of Hard Rock's philanthropic, one of our pillars is charity and philanthropy. And you're working with local communities to not only reinvest and work with vendors and hire employees, but also to look at the things that they're challenged with and help them to achieve a better outcome that's great for the community. We're a community member. And what's good for everybody in this community is going to be, of course, good for us. And we want to invest in that. So you build the relationships, but, you know, not necessarily for any political favor or anything above and beyond on a visibility level. It's more about trying to do the right thing. And it's quite honestly as simple as that. You know, our ownership made a significant investment, probably the biggest one in this region over the last, you know, few years, of course. And there's absolutely a vision now to expand the sports entertainment zone, this whole area near Beale. You know, this is an area that, you know, has the opportunity to really grow, and the infrastructure is coming, and the land is here, and the demand is here, and the need is here. And it's a great conversation to be having with local political figures about how do we collectively see this community, this region, you know, begin to evolve, and all being part of the conversation. So long answer to a, you know, I think a relatively straightforward question, but it's exciting to be part of that landscape to help drive a greater good for everybody.
How are business models changing in the gaming space? So many casinos like yourself, Mark, you've got all kinds of entertainment beyond the slot machines and the card tables and so on, whether it be concerts or fights or other areas where people gather, but yet people today aren't even sure they want to get within 6 feet of each other. Yeah. How does the model change? Are you having to pivot in some way? I have to imagine the business is coming back gradually, if you will, even on the gaming side or the slot side, and you're having to separate people. So that business is hit hard. But then some of the other businesses may not really even exist for a while.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, Mark, you asked the billion-dollar question right now. And, you know, from a gaming industry evolution, I was fortunate to start my career at the Mirage, you know, 20-plus years ago under, you know, the Steve Wynn, you know, era. And, you know, it was one of the first properties in the gaming industry to kind of evolve and usher in the fact that, yes, gaming is still a core revenue driver in our business, but people are coming here to have an entire entertainment experience. And so whether it's the live shows, whether it's the dining with celebrity chefs, whether it's the retail element, now it's adding on, you know, you mentioned the Fertitas and Station Casinos, it's the movie theaters, it's the bowling alley, it's the Kids Zone, Kids Quest. It's all these elements, the retail shopping, you know, elements. You know, and then I was fortunate to spend some time at the Venetian on the Las Vegas Strip with Sheldon Adelson, who again is another visionary. And, you know, 10 years after the Mirage opened, they opened the Venetian and ushered in a whole meeting space component. And there was a time, you know, in my beginning of my career where meetings were not looked upon favorably. We didn't want conventioners in the building on a Tuesday because guess what? They don't gamble. But guess what they do do. They spend money in restaurants. They spend money in the hotel rooms. They have meetings. They bring business. They bring other people to the market that may have not been there before. And that was another evolutionary step. And so there's been consistently evolutionary steps in our industry, and whether they're in the Las Vegas marketplace or even regionally as gaming has grown throughout the United States, each of our properties have continued to evolve. And if you look at our property like us, we could have easily just opened up with slot machines, table games, a restaurant or two, and that was it. But we didn't. We had a beautiful meetings space that, you know, is open. We have, you know, 169 amazing hotel rooms and suites, a beautiful pool area, a nice retail store with tons of Hard Rock swag. So all of that is part of the overall entertainment experience that, you know, I think our industry is collectively, you know, has been moving in that direction. You look at today, answering the second part of your question, it is challenging. As you mentioned earlier, Todd, you know, our buffet is not open. First of all, we were doing a renovation in there that will be done hopefully in the next couple of weeks. We're actually expanding our buffet. So your father will be happy to know that we're adding a whole new salad bar station with soups and salads, a whole new dessert station, big center island, another 30 plus items on our buffet line, because our guests told us that's the things that we needed to have. We listened. We took the closure as an opportunity to build out this amenity, and hopefully that'll be done in the next few weeks. But when we do reopen, if things have not changed dramatically, the buffet experience as we've known it for decades will, at least in the short term, be very different. And it might be people serving you when you're standing in line. It might be you sitting at a table with food being brought to you. Some people have opened up their buffets and used them as food courts. So, you know, in today's current environment, having a traditional buffet does not work. Having our restaurants right now with six feet of distancing in line queues, or every other table in use and the other table not in use to space people out. Technology, again, having people sit down and not get a paper menu, but have a QR code that they can pull up on their phone with the menu, is something that maybe the traditional menu disappears forever. And all of a sudden technology has now evolved and that becomes part of the experience. So, you know, again, these are, you know, in many ways are very challenging times, but in many ways they're also a catalyst for evolution and an ability to look at your current business model and find ways to either be more efficient, more effective, or to meet the demand at the time. But in some ways it allows the industry to evolve. So I think this will be another one of those examples that coming out of it, things will not be identical, even when, you know, the crisis is contained per se. Things will not be the same as they were before, you know, this crisis hit.
Todd, I'll ask you the same question. You know, what are you seeing? What ways are people adjusting to the new reality? But also, I'm kind of curious, what's the difference that you're seeing based upon the Las Vegas style, the destination where you fly in for the most part and have your fun, versus the regional type of business like what Mark has? Are you seeing strengths in one or the other? How are these people
right now,
pivoting?
Yes, absolutely. Right now, I would surmise, and you know, I don't have the stats necessarily. I do read something, you know, every single day, but the native properties that are regional like Mark's versus, you know, Vegas, where you have to fly in, and Hard Rock's certainly a destination location, but it could be reached by a huge populace in Northern California versus flying out to Las Vegas and risking the airports and all the, you know, inconveniences right now of travel. Our native properties, many, when they opened the doors like Hard Rock that day, Mark, you guys had miles of traffic. People were clamoring to get in there, but Sacramento Airport was empty. Nobody wants to get on a plane and go to Vegas. So around the country, it's the same thing. These local destination properties or properties that cater to locals are doing very, very well. Whereas, you know, Atlantic City and Las Vegas and some of these where, you know, you really need to get on an airplane to get there. They're struggling, and it's a real challenge. So, you know, Vegas has to share a lot of locals with a lot of casinos to be able to make any money. So, you know, we'll see what's happening. I do have a question, if you don't mind asking Mark. online gaming is interesting right now. I get a sense that it's growing, and even some like, you know, MGM and some of these others. Has Hard Rock considered online gaming as part of your offering?
Yeah, I mean, that's a fantastic question. Just one other, you know, thing to mention, you know, on top of what you said, because you articulated the Vegas and sort of the destination market versus the regional markets. You know, these regional markets, whether they're commercial or tribal gaming driven, they've really stepped up their games too. And in many cases, I can drive 20 minutes and have an experience at a regional casino, entertainment, gaming, dining, et cetera, that is as compelling as the Las Vegas Strip. And I mean, there's been a lot of infrastructure, a lot of money dedicated to that. You know, and in some cases, you know, I go to Las Vegas and I'm paying daily use fees, I'm paying parking fees now, I'm paying all these other things. They don't have any of that. For the last couple of years, it's unparalleled that, you know, visitation from California to Las Vegas has actually declined. And it's partly all of the things that you mentioned and all the things that, you know, I just articulated as well that are changing sort of that entertainment experience right here in our own local backyards. But to your question, I mean, that's another billion-dollar conversation. Mm-hmm. And as many of you, I'm sure, have seen, there's two fronts right now that are really moving far more rapidly nationwide and hopefully in California as well. One is online gaming, and the other one is sports betting. And I'm sure people are, you know, fascinated to hear more about that. With some of the local or recent changes in some of the federal and other legislative guidelines with regards to sports betting, now it's something that's literally being talked about here in California. There was a couple of different proposals that were out there that have been changing. There's a very good likelihood that there might be a proposal on ballots later this fall in November that would allow sports betting to finally come to California. And clearly there's an appetite for that. And whether that's sort of bricks and mortar or online in a, you know, an app fashion is to still be determined. But clearly it's already happening throughout the United States, and it's something that we'll continue to see grow. Online gaming is the same thing. And of course, as you would know as well, there's security needs, precautions, technology, other tools that need to be in place to protect the user. But that exists already. You know, online gaming is already happening throughout the world. It's happening in Atlantic City now and in other marketplaces. And again, both of these channels are great tax revenues. People are spending money in these spaces already in some sort of manner. It's a great opportunity to now reinvest again in technology and hiring and growth. So I'm optimistic. I'm hopeful that, you know, we'll see sports betting and potentially both that and online gaming in some capacity find its way in California. But, you know, they're not simple, just sort of, you know, turn it on and go. There's a lot of thought and a lot of work that needs to be done to build out regulations and to build out infrastructures and controls and to make sure it's done the right way to the protection of the guest and to the satisfaction of everybody that uses it. But I'm optimistic that we'll see that hopefully the next year to 2 years, both of those channels will come online literally and be a great opportunity for guests to continue their experience in the building, outside the building, and really have another level of fun to be able to utilize.
I think we all know that it's pretty difficult to get a casino open in terms of getting it past the municipalities, the state, local government, just having it be legal, right? Having that usage be accepted in certain geographic areas. I'm wondering how the COVID crisis and the economic downturn, maybe let me use the economic downturn overall, how it's affecting all of us. And so everybody wants to drive these tax revenues. Everybody wants to have economic growth and vitality. And we all know that when a casino opens up, when money changes hands and so on, that creates a lot of jobs and it does a lot of great things for us. Are you seeing a lot more open-mindedness to getting new properties open or new online stuff being acceptable?
Yeah, I mean, that's a great question. You know, I mean, it probably varies depending on if we're talking about, you know, Northern California versus a number of other jurisdictions, whether they're in the United States or outside of the United States. You know, the question will have different answers depending on who we're talking about. Here in Northern California, yeah, I mean, it is a lot of work. I mean, our ownership took over 17 years from the day that they brought this vision to life to the days we opened the doors. And there's tremendous hurdles. There's a lot of regulatory requirements. You know, you're working not only locally and regionally and with the state, also federally, also with the NIGC, which is, you know, National Gaming, you know, regulatory body. So there's all kinds of hurdles. And then in the commercial space, there's similar hurdles, just, you know, with different entities. But there's still growth in gaming. You know, there's probably potentially going to be more gaming in Northern California and Southern California. We just announced we're going through the final phases of an impact study and work project to build a Hard Rock casino down in Bakersfield in Southern California, which would be a tremendous investment to that community and driver of revenues and hiring and, you know, economic reinvestment. You look at other jurisdictions throughout the country, some still don't have gaming. Some have the potential to, you know, they're not at a saturation point. They have the ability to add more gaming. So that conversation varies. But I think, you know, universally, going back to the prior question related to online and sports betting, gaming, those are channels that most of the country has the ability to tap into and turn on. Some will do it sooner than others. But that's an automatic tax revenue that will benefit the state for transactions that are probably occurring in other states or in other ways, per se, that would only benefit employment, economic investment, and tax revenue potential. But the gaming industry still has room to evolve and grow, both locally and regionally and throughout the world, quite honestly. And it's an exciting time as we continue to build these, but also build a product that, again, is more than just traditional gaming. It adds all kinds of other elements to the entertainment experience.
Yeah, maybe to follow up with Todd, what's your reaction to Mark's comments, Todd? And then do you see, are you seeing stuff starting to pop up, new properties on your radar?
Yeah, it actually amazes me always because I wonder what the saturation point is, even in Northern California. You know, when Enterprise, you know, we followed them for a long time to see that, you know, the journey from having land in trust and all the government bodies that have to be involved. And now there's another casino in Northern California, right in our backyard. And so I always wonder, what is that saturation point? Because there are a lot of tribal entities that are building second casinos or building their first. It seems endless, you know, and you know, which I love. I mean, that's our industry. And one thing I really like is it's not just Vegas managing these properties now. You have tribal entities helping other tribes open properties, which kind of leads me to a question with Mark, and maybe you could help him clarify this for me, or we could take it offline if it doesn't make sense right now. But so the Seminole Tribe in Florida, we've done work with, and I'm wondering that the relationship between Hard Rock International and the Seminoles in Florida, who own the Hard Rock brand, if I understand that correctly, what is that? What's that connection? What is the actual structure? Do the Seminoles own Hard Rock International as well? Or how does that work?
Yeah, it's a great question. You know, the Seminole Tribe made the decision years ago to work with Hard Rock to brand a property in Hollywood, Florida, right outside of Miami, and another property in Tampa, Florida, which is arguably one of the biggest casinos in the United States. And as that relationship evolved, our CEO had the vision and had the, you know, the intelligence to work with the Seminole Tribe of Florida to literally purchase Hard Rock International. And quite honestly, if that hadn't happened, I don't know where Hard Rock would be today. We're going to celebrate our 50th anniversary next year, which is a huge milestone. But the company continues to grow, not only in the cafe division, but more importantly in hotels and casinos all around the world. But that I don't think would have been possible without the vision of our CEO and the chairs of the Seminole Tribe, who put a lot of time and money and effort behind growing that company, which allowed us to have the relationship we have today in Northern California. It's ironic because it's really the first time a Native American enterprise, literally Enterprise Rancheria, on the west coast of the United States, has partnered with another tribe, Seminole Tribe of Florida, on the east coast, and have this east coast, west coast relationship now, to bring to life this, you know, $400 million plus investment right here in Northern California. And that's one of many. Now there's another one, as I mentioned, Bakersfield as an example, with the tribe down there that Seminole is now working with. And it's interesting because there's clearly all kinds of different dynamics in different workspaces. But when these tribes work together, not only does it provide economic stimulus to their members and to their communities and reinvest in healthcare and wellness for these tribes that in many cases need that support, but more importantly, it opens up a business opportunity now for development that never would have been perceived as a potential possibility even just a handful of years ago. And I think Hard Rock and clearly the Seminole Tribe and clearly working with the Enterprise Tribe have opened up a door of something that really didn't exist prior. And a lot of others are looking at that now. And it's just smart business. Mm-hmm. And I give my hats off to the leaders of these individual entities, because they really have a much greater vision than just purely a business relationship. So it's exciting. It really is. Yes. But that continues to be the evolution of Hard Rock International, with over 200 locations, with half a dozen casinos in the pipeline already, and a number of hotels in the pipeline all around the world that this company will, you know, could arguably double in size in many ways over the next 5 to 10 years. It's an exciting time. Even in the midst of everything going on, there's still a lot of great opportunity with the right products, the right service, the right people. And we're just happy that we're here now in Northern California to bring the beacon. And what's interesting, you mentioned, you know, saturation. There's always a concern over saturation. What's interesting for us is that, you know, clearly we get a lot of our business between 30 and 45 minute drive, but we're bringing a lot of people in from a 2 hour drive. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think our goal in building this was, of course, to have a great experience, but more importantly was to bring people in that normally wouldn't come here. And there's people from the Bay Area, from, you know, Northern Nevada, from north of us, south of us, that are driving 2 to 3 hours or more. I think because of the Hard Rock brand, clearly as a beacon, people want to have that Hard Rock experience, but because they want to make a trip up and have a weekend experience in Northern California, and we're part of that. And so we're bringing people to the community and to the region that probably have never either come here or haven't come here, you know, for any other reason, maybe just driving through. And I think that's something that's exciting, that I think our brand is as a beacon allows us to do, and hopefully to the benefit of everybody in this entire community.
As we wrap the show, because we're running out of time a little bit, I want to give each of you a chance to maybe share some closing thoughts. But I want you to think a little bit about our audience here on the Mark Haney Show. So I'm wearing the entrepreneur shirt. Many of our listeners, viewers end up being small business people who are aspiring to build businesses. Today we've had a great conversation. We've dove deep into the world of gaming, which is there's opportunities for entrepreneurs within gaming, but I think you use the term opportunity, Mark. I think there's opportunity for all of us right now if we can see things a little bit differently. So a message, if you don't mind, to our audience, to entrepreneurs, to small business people, and maybe Todd, you could start us off, and maybe Mark, maybe kind of close us up a little bit.
Opportunity for entrepreneurship, you know, always exists when there's challenges. I mean, that's what we do, is we solve challenges and we bring new ideas. I would like to say to the greater audience, stay out of the security industry. There's no room for you. I've got to handle. For everybody else, yeah, there's, and it's going to be exciting to see what innovations come out of this. And you know, I heard Mark use the term, and I'm not saying it's good or bad, but this idea of a new normal, I don't want there to be a new normal. I want there to be a unique and new future where innovation, it's going to be exciting to see what happens. It truly is. I think great things come out of this. Anytime, I've heard the statement that good times create weak men and, you know, bad times create strong men and women. And I think this challenging time is going to create the opportunity for people to grow, to be innovative, to think of new ways to solve new problems. And, you know, I don't think there's ever been a better time to start a new business. It's a great time.
Mark?
And look, I mean, Mark, I think it's a great question. I think I appreciate your audience, and hopefully many of them have had the opportunity to come to our property, and talk about that in a minute. And Todd, I think, you know, look at what you've done and your organization and the growth and being an entrepreneur. And I think, you know, you articulated it perfectly. I mean, you know, crisis sometimes brings out innovation and evolution. We have to be front facing and forward looking and take, you know, the opportunity that's in front of us and make the best of it and rise to the occasion and not kind of be afraid of it. But going back to the pure entrepreneur conversation, I mean, what's exciting about what we've done here is you've got a tribe that literally was entrepreneurs to bring this to life over almost 20 years and have that vision and execute on it to the benefit of everybody in our region and in our you know, community. And then you look at the fact that we've got dozens of local businesses from Bridge Coffee in Marysville to others in the community here that we do business with each and every day, from, you know, mom and pop shops that have maybe a handful of employees to organizations that might have dozens. You know, we've got over 50 local vendor partners, and we welcome them every single day. So as much as I'd love to say, you know, to all of your listeners and viewers, come on out and enjoy a Hard Rock experience. Hopefully you already have, and it's been a good one. But also to the business entities out there that are listening, for the expertise that you provide each and every one of these sessions. You know, we're open for business. We're looking to do that. Nothing has been more important to us, to me as a leader, and to the vision of our ownership than reinvesting in our community. And I look at the $400+ million investment in this building. I look at the fact that the majority of our employees come from our backyard here. And I look at the dozens of vendors that either built this building from the construction side or have their products in our building. And they're all entrepreneurs. And they're all individuals from the smallest to the largest that are, you know, looking at an opportunity. And that's what's important to us. That's our vision to giving back to the community and working with everybody, whether you're a guest, whether you're a vendor, whether you're a contractor. We have opportunities here to continue to build those relationships, which quite honestly is good for all of us. That's really the key. It's building a stronger community, and we hope to be part of that going forward on every level. So I appreciate your invitation today, and you got a great show and great speakers, and I know people really learn from all that you do and espouse to provide to people, and I'm just happy to be one of those resources.
Yeah, well, we thank you, Mark, and thank you, Todd, for sharing this. I think in many ways you close it up in what I would call a very inspirational way, that maybe this is the absolute perfect time to be innovative and entrepreneurial in your thinking and figure out a way to attack, because the opportunity is maybe more ripe than ever. So thank you for your insight, your words of inspiration, and for what both of you do right here in the hometown we love.
Thanks for listening to The Mark Haney Show. It's our goal to inspire, educate all the up-and-coming entrepreneurs so they can change the world. If you like today's episode, please subscribe, write a review, and share it so we can help more entrepreneurs unleash their full potential.